This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It is the Johnnies, BT. All the accolades, all the accomplishments so far. Big East regular season champions, Big East tournament champions. It is now go time for St. John's as the real tournament begins tonight.
Yep, it's not to keep the winning going here, Sal. Every story thus far has created this urgency and this aura and has revitalized a program that was on the doorstep of death basically this entire century, as we know, as we've chronicled a million times here. Now you got to go out there, and you've got to justify all the hype and all the noise and all the support and the number two seed and further validate the regular season Big East championship and the conference, the Big East tournament championship, and all the, you know, first and second team and all the American accolades. They got the horses to do it, but now you got to show up and you got to play well.
You know, it's funny. It's almost two parts to the season, and they were as great as you could be, had a perfect regular season and perfect Big East tournament. But that part of the season is over, and now it's the most important part, the NCAA tournament. And going in, I don't know if the Johnnies are ever going to be in this great spot, you know, moving forward. This may be the best it feels going in, a two seed and off of all the things that they've already accomplished. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to go further than they will. Who knows next year? Maybe they could be a one seed, but maybe they're a four or five seed. Maybe they don't win the Big East tournament and have a lower seed, but then they go further in the NCAA tournament. But they're here now. We'll worry about the results after the fact. Whenever they lose, or if they do lose, we could react to that. But I think everything's out in front of them, BT. You want to talk about Final Four? You want to talk about cutting down the nets, being the NCAA champion? I think that's there. Everything is possible, realistically, for this number two seed St. John's team.
I agree with you. I really do. Listen, if we watch a team that was up and down all year and was in Dayton like they were last time they were in the tournament, like, okay, you can have a pipe dream and you can hope against all probable hope that there's some unpredictable run coming, but that wouldn't really have matched the optics of the season. I understand, you know, if you want to focus on all the good like we do and, you know, incorporate the things that have been a little shaky, which is really shooting, and that's about it. That's part of the story. But it's I've marveled at their ability to work around that. And quite frankly, I know I've said this to you, like, not that you just throw out the first month or two, but if you were, I'd say the last 5 weeks, if you were to take their shooting stats, both from behind the arc and the free throw line, and also have that percent or those percentages, pardon me, reflect the same as the first 2 months, then the story of St. John's not being good enough to shoot it and as their Achilles heel would not be nearly as prominent. What I mean by that is they've gotten a lot better. And that speaks to the player personnel that Rick has always talked about. And one more thing, too. I think you're absolutely right about Yeah, they very well might get to a Final Four, win a championship, which I think they will get to a Final Four at some point with Rick, maybe this year. But what you can't factor in, what you cannot calculate now, is what other schools in the conference will do. Because 2 years ago, St. John's was dead as a doornail. Do you think that Danny Hurley or McDermott or Shaka or any other coach sitting there was saying, we got to worry about St. John's? St. John's didn't have Patino. St. John's didn't have any money. All it takes is one booster from one of these other schools to these points, and to your point, where they're like, you know what? Hey, Seton Hall, I don't like what I saw. 9-10 wins, nonsense. Here's $9 million. Go fix it. Like, you know, basically St. John's got $4 million to basically go fix it. So you don't know. You don't take it for granted. I know the players aren't, and I absolutely know the fans aren't.
Yeah, and you also don't know how long Patino is going to be here. Like, because there is the end of the road at some point. So not the, maybe it's 5 years, who knows? But that's why you got to live in the moment and appreciate it. And I know you keep saying that, like, one game at a time, that's fine. But really, when you're in this spot where, I'm not saying they're as good as Florida or Duke or whatever, but hey, upsets happen all the time. And if you're a two seed, that means you have a chance. I mean, they're ranked, what, fifth in the country to close things out? Five, six in the country to close things out? That means you can win, and they have the coach to do it. He's been training this team all year long in the regular season to build up to this moment. He said it months ago. We play, and I teach this team, we practice and play as if it is the tournament. That's what he wanted to prepare him for. It worked in the regular season. It worked in the Big East tournament. Now, how much will it work in the real tournament? NCAA tournament March Madness, which should be getting underway, BT, momentarily here. Obviously, yeah. Johnny's later on tonight.
Yeah, it took me these damn new TVs. I'm obviously in the studio.
Where is it? How can you get the damn game on from me watching Friends on TBS?
What? Well, not a bad option.
No. Friends. I mean, Courtney Cost not looking too bad here. But no, I want to watch, put on the pregame, whatever it is, put on CBS. I wish we could have the quadrant of games going on, but then we don't get that, no?
Like the little mix review, like the mixer right there?
Yeah.
Well, it took me forever because I'm up in Providence, as you've said a few times, and I'm at a different station. They've taken great care of me, and I've got three TVs in the studio. I'm looking at four remotes. How long do you think it took me to figure out what the hell channel to find? I'm not even in New York where it's like, all right, CBS is two, and you know, here's True TV, which I still don't even know where True TV is, really. It's like it's still throwing darts, even all these years later. And I feel like they introduced True as an outlet probably about 8, 9, 10, maybe more, who knows, but at least a decade or so. I still have no idea where True TV is. I'm just flipping channels.
Yeah, you should have brought Colt with you, and he could help you figure that out. All right, BT and Sal, the fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mike is in New Rochelle. What's up, Mike?
What are we going to do? Win it all for Lou. What are we going to do? Win it all for Lou. SJU. Mm. Let's go, baby. Sal.
Yeah.
BT. Mm-hmm. BT, stay away from those Johnny cakes, man. They're addictive, brother. Get home safe, man. Go
St. John. Boy. I don't plan on going too nuts up here. Win it for Lou. Speaking of Lou.
Johnny Cakes.
I think that's the Sopranos reference.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to go there, I'm assuming, but.
I didn't plan on it. you know. Do some basketball, maybe have a couple beers. So Sal, I saw on social media before, it was such an awesome picture. If I can find it, I'll repost it on X. There was a picture of Rick Pitino and Coach Carnesecca, and it was at the introductory press conference, which, by the way, was it today? I think it was 2 years ago today, if I'm not mistaken. And it just simply said, and Coach Pitino had his arm around Lou, and it said, I'm going to make you proud, Coach. Mm. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
And look where we are.
Yeah, I know. And I said this earlier in the week, and you said, well, I was saying that I wish, you know, if only Coach Carnesecca were around to see it, but you were taking the good in that, saying that, you know, he is watching. Right?
He is. Yeah. I have no doubt in my mind. What I believe as a person, he's watching, no doubt.
Imagine the storyline. Maybe it would overshadow what St. John's doing because Coach Carnesecca, I mean, you know, he's a legend, Lou, as you know, and maybe it was almost, you know, fitting that he moved on, and now Patino could be front and center and taking this team to a level of, you know, success that we have not seen in over 25 years, and maybe even before that, BT, really, because that team, now that team had a chance to win a championship in your mind going in?
Oh, yeah. Okay. They, remember, so they lose, they get to the Elite Eight, and they played Ohio State, which was awesome. You remember Scooney Penn and those guys?
Yeah.
And Eric Barkley, were they down by one? I don't think they were going for three. I think they were down by one trying to get a two and win it. And Eric Barkley dribbled the ball off his foot with like maybe, I mean, I could be off a few seconds, like 9 seconds, whatever it may have been. They had a chance to win it. And if they won that, they would have been going to the Final Four. You got to remember, that's the...
BT, I was going to say, that wasn't that far removed from the heyday of St.
No,
John's.
No, it wasn't. If you think about this, so the last, I'll connect the dots for you because you're right. So the last, we got this, I think, two, three days ago, R.J. Lewis, second team All-American. Obviously, St. John's fans know that. Many of you also know that. And if you didn't, now you do. But the last St. John's player to get that award, it wasn't Ron, it was Ron Artest, but before that was Malik Sealy. So, and rest in peace, God. I loved Malik. He was so graceful and such a good person. But when you look at, I know we always reference 85, Final Four, Louis, Mully, amazing, awesome. But when you push that forward, the next year, now Chris is in the NBA, Mark Jackson is the, and Walter Berry wins the Wooden Award. This is the next year, and Patrick's in the NBA, Mully's in the NBA, Louis still the coach, obviously. Mark Jackson in 87, they lose to Auburn, right? I think that was the Sweet 16, and then the next year, Mark Jackson's the Big East Defensive Player of the Year, and he's the first-round pick of the Knicks, as we know, and he wins the Rookie of the Year. And so it didn't just stop in 85. Like, that's a bit of a misnomer. And again, if you weren't around for it, I don't expect you to know this chapter and verse like me, because it means more to me than basically anything of any sport. So I get it. I'm deep into it. And it was still rolling, man. And then it was rolling into the early 90s, where they got to another Sweet 16. Malik Sealy was a dominant player, was a first round pick. And then when Louis retired, and that was after the 93 season, and then Mahoney took over, Coach Mahoney, that's when he got Felipe, and this is what you remember, Felipe, Zendon, mm-hmm. Tariq Turner, and they honestly, Felipe, great human, good player, but wasn't quite supposed to be what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be Jordan and the Dominican Jordan, and he wasn't. He was good, and he was really good some years, but he couldn't shoot. And he was a first-round pick, bounced around a bit, started to find a role, tore up his knee, and then it dipped a little bit, and then Ron came in, and Jarvis came in, and Bootsy Thornton poured in 43 against Duke at the Garden on that Sunday that year, and that was a team that absolutely should have been and probably should have been in the Final Four and could have won the championship. Yes.
Steve is calling from Stamford, Connecticut. What's up, Steve?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
I was the Vanderpump guy with you, and if you haven't watched Traitors on Peacock, you got to watch Tom Sandoval on it. Just a quick bit. And BT, you and I are aligned on most of our teams, and only college is where we separate. I'm a UConn grad season ticket holder and was at both devastation games this year against St. John's at the Garden and at its stores. And here's my message and what I hope happens. Go win. If it can't be UConn this year, and I'm not sure it will be with the delay we have and the team we have this year, I'm rooting for the Big East. I want someone else. Go win a ring. Go deep. We need respect in our conference. Yeah, we got Xavier in this year, and we didn't get mm-hmm. teams last year. But it can't always be UConn every year being the bellwether.
Someone else needs to win
something.
And thank you for the call, Steve. In comparison or in combination with UConn BT, then maybe you could start to get a better feel about the Big East if St. John's, I don't want to say legitimizes their regular season, but if they do some damage in the tournament this year off of what UConn has done in the last couple of years, now you're talking about two potential powerhouses in the Big East Conference.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, too. There's a couple of things that I would unpack quickly from Tom's call. Thanks for the call, Tom. So, and I'm sure St. John's fans appreciate the support, although I could promise you that it wouldn't be reciprocated. St. John's fans wouldn't be saying go UConn, but that's derived from jealousy, so I get it. I think that, first of all, I do think at some point Danny's going to the NBA. Almost took the Lakers job. Eventually he's gonna want to scratch that itch. And when he leaves, or I'll say if out of respect, but if he leaves UConn, what happens to UConn? I don't know. I do think if it's a Marquette or a Creighton or a Xavier or anybody but UConn, I think St. John's fans would absolutely be rooting for the conference, just like they were. And I was as well with Jay Wright and Villanova, you know, with those two championships. And it's nuts. Like, St. John's does not, the Big East does not get the respect that they should because it's not a football conference. We get that. And for all the other reasons, they're not aligned with ESPN, blah, blah, blah. But the last eight champions, four from the Big East, two for Hurley, two for Jay Wright. So that's 50%. Now, I don't know if it's going to go north of 50% this year, but it's got a chance. But you are right. And so was Tom. It can't always be UConn. And for St. John's, and that's why everybody says for years, well, St. John's is the sleeping giant. Oh, St. John, yeah, no kidding. But they just couldn't awake from their nap. Now that they have, now you can legitimately have two top 10 teams, two top five teams, theoretically, for a couple of years until Rick hangs them up.
Whitey calling from Bay Shore. What's up, Whitey?
Whitey.
Johnny's got absolutely hosed getting put in the West. They got four of the top 10 coaches of all time. They got Calipari.
Get out of here.
Dump that. But
good.
I
mean, dump that. Let's say we need to get a chuckle, but yeah, we got to dump that.
Come on, man. What's wrong with people?
I don't know.
The lunatics are out today, BT. I respect the passion and the craziness, but we've had some wacky calls so far.
I don't know if I love that one, but yeah, I like the wackiness. You got to remember, hey, we just got past St. Paddy's Day, so there's probably a few wackos still nursing that hangover. They're already right back into it. What is it, 12:15?
Yeah.
People are ready.
I do think, though, I'm not going to say that they got a bad draw because of it. I'm sure in part of the, like, to me, the part of the appeal of that bracket is the fact that we could get potentially great matchups with Patino and Calipari. Let's say that's what I'm rooting for. But I like the fact that you have those. What are you supposed to do? I mean, so now it's not just about the teams. Now it's about the coaches as well. So nobody's going to be happy if their team's not in the right region. If the team, meaning like locally, oh, well, we wanted to go to Newark, or oh, we're not in Providence for the first round, or oh, there's too many good coaches in our bracket, or oh, there's too many good teams in our bracket. Like, come on. You can't. I'm not going to nitpick me personally about the coaches. I think it's
no.
Yeah.
No, I love it, actually. I think it adds juice here. Now, I think that Bill Self is a really, really good coach, but I'm not going to get into the weeds on this because nobody cares right now. But Bill Self has had many seasons where they were the consensus number one team, not to mention number one seeds going in, and they just grossly underachieved. He's a really good coach. He ain't Patino. Yeah. Calipari has pumped out a ton of NBA players. I know you love him. I like him, too. I really do. I think he's a good coach, great charisma, great for the game. He is not Patino in terms of like that X's and O's strategy. He's just not. So you want Cal, you want Billy Self, bring him on. Patino's the best coach in the country.
John is in Manhattan. What's up, John?
What's going on, BT? What's going on, Sal? How you guys doing today?
Great, Johnny. What's on your mind?
All set, bud. What's up?
I'm 55 years old. The last time St. John's was the real national powerhouse was in 85, where if it wasn't for Patrick Ewing, I think we would have won the whole thing.
Agreed.
Because we just couldn't beat Georgetown.
No,
we could beat
everybody
else, but Georgetown was like our Achilles.
Yeah.
And I'm really super excited. I think we got three of the top players in the country. And we got, I think, one of the best coaches in the game right now in college. And I see him passing the Sweet 16, and I'm just super nervous and excited.
That's what you want. You want to be nervous. That means you're back. That means we're playing for something.
And it's so many years, I always like, oh, not this year. Oh, we suck this year. Oh, you know, it's like, when are we going to finally get a legitimate contender? And I think this is the year.
Me too.
And I'm just,
I think so too.
Calling you guys and super excited, and you know, I'm just super excited. I can't wait till like 9.
Enjoy the game.
Man.
Enjoy the game.
Thanks
for
John.
The call. You know what's that funny? Like if this was, because of course when you look at, how long can St. John's be this with Patino? Well, I mean, he's 72. He signed a six-year deal, so he's not going to be coaching for 10 more years. That's a given. You have to hope that the infrastructure is in place and it's already being put in place with the money and the new facility coming, blah, 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 that whomever takes over, it's an easy handoff of the baton, even though no matter who it is, they're not going to be Rick in terms of a strategist here. That's just, you have to understand that. But I almost feel better. I don't know if this is going to make sense, and it's the first time it really hit me. If this was 10 years ago and Rick was 62 instead of 72, I would take this situation now, with the threat of him retiring whenever looming over St. John's, more so than him being 10 years younger and the threat of him leaving right. for a different blue blood. I think this is more desirable if you want him to stay at St. John's.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect spot. Now you just better make sure you cash in on whatever window this is. Is it going to be 4 years, 5 years, 6 years? Who knows? But now you got to cash in. By the way, BT, just looking at it, and again, I'm not as familiar with the history, obviously, as you or some of the older people. Like in my mind and some of the talk, their history was better than it. It feels like people talk about them on a higher level than in reality. Like, I did not know that they've only won four Big East championships.
Yeah.
Including this year.
I know.
Like,
I know.
That's not a lot.
No, it's not.
And only two Final Four appearances, one being in 52?
Yeah, with, I guess that would have been Lapchick early, and then, of course, 85, I know. Now, if you look at their records, I mean, there's a ton of Sweet 16s, and there's a lot of, you know, All-Americans and Wooden, you know, back-to-back Wooden awards and first-round picks, but no, I mean, Sal, basically, somebody hit the pause button, and St. John's basketball stopped.
Right.
You know, and you, as you, and I love the energy. You're doing it awesome. Like, you've really leaned in. You've gone to some games. You've watched the games. I think it's awesome that you're enjoying this the way that you are, especially for our show and for you. It's great. But there's no doubt, as you kind of learn about some of the things that just predate you being old enough to remember, oh, my, you couldn't have a greater contrast. You couldn't have a more egregious fall from grace than St. John's basketball.
Right, but my other point, though, BT, was that I feel like because of that St. John's was talked up so big in the 80s, but I guess I thought that they accomplished more. I'm not trying to minimize what they did.
No, I know what you mean. Yep.
Yeah, like in my mind, I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, perennial team that was competing for the Final Four. Like you said, a bunch of Sweet 16, sure, but only two Final Four. Like, really, it was just that 1 year in 85 that was the big year, right?
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you got to think about this now. Yes. Well, first of all, the Final Four, sure. That was obviously the big one there, no question. But then again, when you start to push this forward, let's see. So 84-85, they went 31-4. They had three losses to Georgetown. The other loss, oddly, was to Niagara. That is weird.
86 regular season champs in the Big East. Okay.
30 wins, 30-something wins, right? They got, but I think they lost in round two that year.
Okay.
And then the next year, they, in 86-87, you still have Mark Jackson. They're 20-win team, which back then 20 wins meant something. They lost in the second round for the right to go to the Sweet 16. And then they had a drop in 88-89. I think that's when they won. Yeah, they won the NIT that year. And then it was second round, regional final, NCAA tournament, first round, second round. So you're looking at 7 of 8 years where they're winning 20 to 30 games, pumping out first round picks and going to the tournament.
Right.
But no, they didn't go as far as maybe you thought, or maybe some other younger fans thought. That's true.
I think the perception, at least for me, was St. John's is this powerhouse. Now, they were in an aspect of getting to the tournament, which is obviously something that we haven't seen, you know, in the last 20 years, let's say the majority of the time. So that, yes, getting to the tournament, they were a regular participant all those years, the early 90s, as you mentioned. Yes, late 80s or mid to late 80s, early 80s, really all through the 80s, they were a tournament team. And then all through the early 90s, then the drop-off started to come, certainly after 2000. But, yeah, looking back, I was a little surprised that they didn't have more success. I guess I just I thought that they had more success than
well,
they did.
Real fast, by the way. I get it. But I'm looking at this now, and I thought it was 6 wins. Dude, the first year that I ever called games, they were 6-21.
Yeah, that's brutal.
6-21. And then the next year, year two, they go 9-18. And then the next year, they go 12-15. Like, it was a rough road, man.
Well, and those days are now behind us, obviously, yep. And we're looking forward to tonight's game. And that's why, hey, you're in the tournament. Never know what could happen. As a 2-seed, let's see what Pitino and his crew can do. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls. Working some Knicks as well. Some baseball, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Thursday afternoon. March Madness, St. John's. Everybody's pumped up. And BT, I have an update. Now, I almost feel bad saying this, but you can feel the excitement, right? The energy around us, the callers, the building. We talked about the pizza, usually the tradition set by Mike back in the day, Francesco by pizza for everybody. It was a special day, the feel around here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Evan, as the current afternoon host, decided to carry on tradition, which I was asking Hoff this morning, hey, make sure, because if he's not, I was going to buy pizza for everybody, want to take care of people. Everybody's excited about it. Get some pizza. Carry on the tradition that Mike Francesa set, which was, to me, like the best thing ever. I loved those days, even if I wasn't a big college basketball fan. Evan shows up with 3 pizzas, and they were, I don't want to say personal size pizza.
What?
But it was not. Like, you know how you order a pie?
Yeah.
It wasn't that size. It was like
what?
Half of that.
Come on, dude.
It was like mediums pizza. So 3 pizzas. And then he's saying to me, I'm like, oh, it's a nice thing that you're doing that. I was going to, you know, do it or whatever. And he goes, oh, you know, we did it. 3 pizzas. He's like, oh, Teek and I were wondering if anybody's going to eat it. Meanwhile, I go out there just now. It's all gone. There's like 1 slice left. And the only reason why 1 slice is left is because people feel bad to eat it because there's not enough there. So like if you're gonna do it, Ev, do it like a man would. Do it like Mike would. I mean, order some pies for the guys here, for good sake. Three little personal pizzas? I mean, what are we doing?
What did Tiki bring in? Cauliflower and kale?
Oh, I didn't. Tiki, I don't know if he's here yet. I'm not going to get on Tiki because you saw his angry side. But
yeah,
Evan,
I
mean, Evan wants to take charge here. It is the Evan and Tiki show. He's got top billing there. Mike and the Mad Dog, Evan and Tiki. I mean, dude, come on, go into that wallet of yours and freaking spring for some real pies. There should be, if you don't have two full pies left, left over, you don't have enough. You know what I'm saying?
I got to take it. Yeah, I do. I got to take it a step further. I think there should be a calzone or two. I think there should be a couple of meatball chicken cutlet parmesan heroes, maybe a little shrimp parmesan, maybe a little salad to spread. Like, you're right. If you're gonna do it, you gotta do it. And I don't like judging when other people spend money,
right?
Because the effort was there.
No, his heart was in the right place,
but the execution was a zero.
Brutal. And by the way, you bring up the calzone. Hoff and I went over there to look at the pizza. Hoff goes, "Oh, what's this, a calzone?" It was plain.
Dude, I mean, well, first of all, Sal, this got off on the wrong foot when you told me that Evan was going to pick up the pizza.
I know. He tried to explain himself, but I kind of checked out in the middle of the story. He's like, but you know what his excuse was? Was
what?
That because, you know, we have the renovations of the building. So the old address, you got to give a different address now. It's the other side of the building. So he's like, oh, I didn't want it to get lost. And I'm like, you just give it the other. He's like, I didn't know that. So I, you know, he ordered. His heart was in the right place.
It was.
You know, the poor thing. But, like, come on. I mean, why is he's the afternoon drive-o's trying to carry on tradition. This was like the poor, poor, poor man's version of Francesa treating us on tournament day.
This is like what the weekend, you know, backup to the backup producer delivers. And no knock on those guys getting gals getting their hustle on. They're just starting. But that is... That's an F level. I'm going to give him a D+ because an F is not doing anything. But that's just Ev. I love him, but man, he is a baffling. He's different.
I went to a fantasy draft at his house, and he ordered more pizza for 10 people than he did for 100 in the building.
Well, he was legit concerned the idea that people weren't. He's like, oh, Tiki and I were like, who's going to eat it? Because you're just thinking, all right, there's Gallo out in the newsroom. And by the way, it is not just, this is not me going on a rant about Evan. I'm getting a consensus. Multiple people have come to me and were questioning the, like, I don't want to get on him because it's a nice thing, but last year you got us better pizza. And I was like, I don't even remember doing that, but like, if I was going to do it, I'd certainly do it right. I mean, going for a couple $100, what could it be? And get some real freaking pies here. And he got a margarita, a pepperoni, and a buffalo chicken, like personal size. Like,
which he was bragging about, by the way. He came in and I got buffalo chicken.
Buffalo. I don't even like buffalo chicken. See, here's the other problem, too. All right. So, I know I keep dragging Tiki into this, but I can't exonerate him. Huh? So, no, I mean, you know, not talking out of school, but see, if I was in studio and you and I did it,
right,
we would do it better and we would do it right because, again, we eat like men watching the NCAA tournament. You know, now again, Tiki looks like Zeus. Well, I mean, I wish I looked like Tiki.
Right, does he even eat pizza, Tiki?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll dabble, but like maybe a slice. But he's not thinking about the calzones and the chicken cutlets and all the gravy and the mozzarella, extra cheese. He's not thinking about that. He's thinking about, you know, his blueberry shakes with his kale in the morning, and that's why, and doing his planks in between breaks. That's why he looks the way he looks. So if it's you and I together, and then obviously Hoff just comes in off the top rope like a horse, like a monster, and you know, we're going to crush it, all three of us. Evan was kind of by himself, and Evan doesn't do those things well.
Right.
Now I feel really bad. God. I had two slices.
Yeah, you had two slices.
I didn't realize
that's a majority.
It.
You ate almost half the supply.
Yeah, it represents 19% of the pizza that's in Hop's stomach right now.
My wife gets mad at me for, like, anytime we cater or have people over, I'm always overdoing it. It's just the way
me
that
too.
I was. Like, if you're not throwing out pizza here, obviously at home you could freeze it, but here you got to throw it out. You can't leave it. Then you've ordered incorrectly, so you always should overdo it. Again, his poor little heart was in the right place, but the execution, it was just nowhere to be found. So
I wish you create and you project a very vivid imagery of just how much he dropped the ball, but I really wish I got to see this. Can you at least take a picture of the little teeny tiny pizza box and post it?
Yeah, did anybody get a picture of those three that were out? Like, the three wouldn't even equal one of my pie. But go take. Didn't even look really good. I mean,
I got to be honest now. Now I'm supposed to join these guys right around six.
Whoa!
I don't know if I could do it.
You might have to get on them a little bit for that.
Oh, I will. If I wasn't contractually obligated, I might have to take a pass, make an excuse.
I mean, what is wrong with Evan? How could you?
A lot.
Like, he bought pizza for barely Dove and Huff, let alone the entire place.
And he knows Dove's not eating it because it's not kosher, so it's just for Huff.
Salespeople, engineer, like, everybody should walk by and be like, wow, oh my God, where do we put these pizzas? Meanwhile, those fit nicely on the table outside. Come on.
I mean, Sal, think about, lift up the curtain a little bit. So, in the bullpen, there's an area, like if we get books that nobody's interested in reading, or t-shirts that maybe are two sizes too small, or whatever it might be.
Or big, right.
Yeah, like we put it out there. It's just a communal area. And if you see it and you want it, you can take it. Take it home for your kids, take it home for yourself, whatever. And, I mean, I've seen the Gavones, I don't know how else to say it, at our station eat two-day-old cookies like they're going to the electric chair. And you can't put five healthy boxes up on a pizza on the first day of the big NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
It's a colossal fail. And by the way, I'm listening to those guys, and it was funny, driving up to Providence last night, and Evan's talking about, like, ballpark food, hot dogs with chili and mac and cheese. So you could talk about it, but you can't do it?
That is he's got to take the L on that one.
Yes, he does.
Again, a part of me does feel bad only because...
No, you don't.
No, I do only
no,
because...
No, you don't.
BT, trust me, because when I saw him show up with that... I was thinking, what the hell is this? But he's thinking like, oh, here I am supplying the, and I didn't have the heart to say it to his face. But after getting multiple complaints from different sources throughout the building, I felt the need. I had to bring it up on the air.
I'm happy that you did. I could just see him, proud as a peacock, swooping in, the Superman, saving the day. And now we just got pounded for eight minutes on his own station.
As he had a slice in his mouth. Proud of a peacock doesn't do it justice. He had a slice in his mouth. He's going, oh, buffalo chicken pizza. Daniel McCarl was walking around. He goes, oh, go grab some pizza. And I'm thinking, if she grabs some pizza, we're going to be out in 10 minutes.
This is great. Oh,
right, we'll get back to the calls. BT and Sal. I mean, they don't make them like they used to. Mike would supply everybody in the building. BT and Sal of the Fan. We'll get back to the calls on the other side. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Thursday afternoon. March Madness. Johnny's getting underway tonight. Games are underway now. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. And we're making fun of Evan for, he did the right thing trying to bring in pizza for everybody, but he brought in pizza for maybe a few with those three small pies. BT, are you an Office fan, the show The Office?
Yeah, it's funny. I would not be able to, run through chapter and verse.
Right.
I didn't even necessarily seek it out in real time with the passion that real Office fans did. However, every time I watched, generally after it actually got off the air, I thought it was incredibly witty and one of my favorite shows. I just jumped in real late.
Right. Hoff, you an Office fan? Have you seen?
Never watched it before.
Okay, so there's an episode, maybe BT, you remember, that made me think of the Evan situation. It made me think of this. Michael Scott has a bunch of people over his house, and he's showing off his new flat screen TV or whatever it was, and it was like a 20-something inch TV.
Black and white? Rabbit ears?
And he was so proud of this TV hanging on the wall, and everybody's like, okay. That was what, for Office fans, that was what it felt like when Evan was showing off those three pies that he unveiled before. Mike is in Madison. What's on your mind, Mike?
Jeez.
Listen, Sally boy,
yeah.
I never agree with you, but today, I'm more on BT's wavelength, but today, I can't agree more. I mean, what is he? First of all, give me a minute on this. Who brings in three pies for an office? One of those pies are buffalo chicken. I mean, are buffalo. First, I mean, all right, you got a group of guys. You got to start off with wings, a tray of meatballs, and then you got the Italian meats, the fresh provolone, the fresh mush. All right. And then we start with pizzas. you got to get a couple of sausage, a couple of pepperoni, and a couple of plains, and then you go with margarita at the end of that. Who brings in one out of three is a buffalo chicken? Evan, I mean, I got to call back later and talk to Evan.
It wasn't even regular size. Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, it was. Again, I do. You know me. Like, I usually don't feel bad ripping anybody. I actually feel like I'm. You know, like we're picking on somebody who doesn't know any better. His heart was in the right place, and he just missed by a mile to the point where people feel bad. Like, yeah. they feel bad about it, but they're coming to me being like, oh, man, like, what is this?
Yeah. I would say that you had two choices, my friend. The fork in the road was to ignore it and not harpoon your teammate on the air, or to make fun of him completely and have your partner, me, jump in and add to it. And we know which door you went for.
Yeah, I mean,
so you could tell us all day how badly you feel about it. You're the one who brought it. I would not have known.
I'm a team guy. I care more about the locker room guys here who are coming to me, you know, complaining about this thing. I felt the need to bring it up. I can't just protect Evan's feelings.
No, I don't disagree with that. I listen, content's content.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
That's right.
This would be a deeper, and I don't think, now, I think sometimes he's a little, not with sports, I think Evan knows as much sports as anybody,
yes.
But he's a little socially aloof, we know Evan, great guy, but definitely Evan's Evan, right? The way he dresses, all the other stuff. So do you think this would be devious, which I know he's not, and calculated, which with sports he is, but life I don't think he is. I don't think that he would do this, but I want to run it by you. So when you get pizzas, you know, generally you want to get a couple of cheese ones, yep. Maybe mixing a pepperoni, maybe mixing a sauce, maybe mixing a meatball. Like,
you start grandma going, pie.
Or
Sicilian, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, I love Sicilian. Now, you start going like anchovies and buffalo chicken. Now you go into a percentage that plays to the smallest part of the room. Do you believe that there was a calculation on his part to get the buffalo chicken pizza, which I think is un-American and should be illegal, that by bringing this in, he knew he wasn't bringing in three, he was bringing in two, because he was the only one who would eat the other one.
Yeah, well, he did have that slice of buffalo chicken. It was a popular one, apparently, because it was gone I went back out. Well, I mean,
There's nothing else to eat.
There's 18 slices in total.
Small slices.
Ugh. Yeah.
Like, you remember Elio's pizza?
Yes,
I think, I think that those slices were bigger than the ones that Evan supplied.
No, let me tell you what it's like now. And Hoff, you're going to absolutely get this. And Sal, in about another year or two, you will actually be doing this. When you have a kid's birthday party, generally in that 5 to 9-ish, 8, 9 range, you get, you know, even if it's like a sports theme, whatever it might be, here come the pizzas, here comes the Carvel cake, and the pizza is cut into, instead of 8 slices, there's like 30 slices. It's like these little teeny tiny slivers. Hoff, you know what I'm talking about. That's it sounds like it was.
Yeah. It was similar
to these were closer to bagel bites.
Bagel bites.
Mario's on Long Island, Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, how you doing? Great. This is funny about the pizza.
Too bad it's true.
Yeah, right.
I know.
It's our sad reality. But go ahead, Mario. You have something you want to chime in about?
Yeah, just wanted to chime in a little bit. I think you wanted to transition maybe a little bit to the Knicks.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wanted yesterday's game, you know, I'm watching this game and I'm saying, yeah, bad loss for sure, but one thing that's very positive, it looks like Mitchell Robinson is changing the landscape a little bit. You know, 13 points, 11 rebounds. I mean, once Brunson comes back after that, I mean, I think that they're, things are going to be doing a little better. They might do a little better than we think. Are they going to probably beat Boston? No. But I still think they're going to get out of the first round. They still got a little ways to go. But he looks like they really need somebody like him.
It's good to see him back healthy. They were down 67-35 last night. They lost by 15. That was not reflective of the effort. The New York Knicks did not show up last night. They were not ready to play. They let some scrub light him up like he was Dirk Nowitzki. Just last night was embarrassing. There's no other way to cut it. That was disgraceful by the Knicks.
Yeah, we're going to get to the Knicks at 1. It said on the screen, Mario wanted to talk about pizza, so I took him. You heard what he had to say about the pizza, and then he quickly transitioned to the Knicks. But we will get more on the Knicks, BT, when we come back. 888-808-1019. Also, the Johnnies, final hour of the show. I mean, long way to go to wait for the game, but the anticipation is going to be exciting here, BT, for a lot of St. John's fans. as they get set to tip off tonight, 9:45 probably after that. But March Madness underway, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.